Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Daf Ches. We're on the last line of Zayin Amud Beis. It says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Boitkin Loi Lo'ir HaChama. One is not meant to do Bdikas Chametz using sunlight, V'loi Lo'ir HaLevana, nor using the light of the moon. V'loi Lo'ir HaVuka, nor using a torch. Ela Lo'ir HaNer, rather by candlelight. Why? V'pnei She'oir HaNer, Yofilo B'dika, because candlelight is superior. It's preferred for B'dika HaShchametz, as the Gemara soon will explain. V'afal B'shein Raya L'davar, although there's no absolute Raya that a candle is meant to be used for B'dika HaShchametz, Zeichel L'davar, we do have an indication. And these are the four psukim we learned yesterday. Shenemar, Shivas Yomim S'or, Lo Yimotzi B'teichem. So we find the term Metzia, finding, in connection with Chametz. Va'omer vayechapes bagadol heichel, and the pasuk there has the word vayimatze. So you see that vayechapes, searching, is synonymous with metzia, with finding. So likewise by chametz, where the word loyimatze is used, it's synonymous with searching. And we move on to the next pasuk. Va'omer ba'isahi achapes es yishlaim b'neiros. We find that chipus is done using candles. And finally va'omer neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, Chayfes, Kol Chadri Baten. So we find that a ner is meant to be used for searching purposes, and likewise for B'dikas Chametz. So here we have the symbolic element of ner. Now then we'll proceed with a practical element, why a ner is more suitable. So let's go back to the Braisa, when I'm meant to use Oir HaCham, sunlight. Hai Oir HaCham, Hayichi Dami. What are we speaking about? Ineme B'chatzar. If he's going to search for the chametz out in the courtyard using the Oir HaChama, well, Ha'amar Rava, didn't Rava tell us, Chatzar Eina Tzricha Bedika? This outdoor area, this chatzar, requires no Bedika to begin with. V'pnei She'or V'metzuyin Sham. Because there are ravens present there which will remove the chametz regardless. So, at any rate, no Bedika is required out in the chatzar. Ela Bachsar. Apparently, we're speaking about a roofed area, a terrace. So it has a roof, but it has an incomplete enclosure. In which case, there are no ravens there, but it's exposed, it's properly exposed to sunlight. And the Braisa tells us, we're not meant to do B'dikas Chametz merely using natural light. Really? Ha'amar Rava. Didn't Rava say, Achsadra, lo'ir nebdekes? Certainly you can. You can check the Achsadra using its natural light. You don't need any additional candles. Loitzricha, apparently was speaking about laruba debecheder, regarding a skylight present in a room. So it's indoors and there's a skylight. And you'd like to check that room using merely sunlight. Says Modehecha, where are you trying to check? Ila bahadi aruba. Opposite that window, hainu achsadra. That's tantamount to achsadra. Why can't you do that? There's sufficient sunlight coming through that window which allows for proper searching. Elalit Staden, apparently we're speaking about checking the sides of the room, meaning not opposite the skylight. So those areas are a bit dim, in which case you have to bring an additional tool, which is a candle. Let's see Rashi inside, from the top of the Amid. V'pnei she'or haner yofel b'dika, v'kamim mefarish mai mal yusum avuka. In what way is a ner superior to a torch? And then we're proceeded that when I'm meant to use the Oir HaChama, sunlight, and the Gemara said, well, the Achsadra, lo'ir nevdekes, lo'ir shel nevdekes. You can use merely its natural light. Vein tzarech lahavi lo'ir haner v'layla. Don't need to wait till nighttime to use a candle. Ela b'dika b'yayim. You just do b'dikas chametz during the day, meaning during the 13th day of Nisan. So Gemara said, well, speaking about a skylight, udehecha, be'ezer mokem b'cheder. In which location are we speaking about? Where in this cheder, leis sagil or aruba, do we say that the light coming through the aruba is not sufficient? In name of the aruba neged achor mamish, opposite that window, amai loy. Why not? Hainu achsadra. This is the same as the achsadra. There's abundance of natural light that should suffice. Let's start in shulchar. We're speaking about on the sides, so off to the sides a bit dim. in which case the sunlight doesn't suffice. That's why you need to use a candle. But only a candle, not an avuka. So avuka was a combined entity of several wicks braided together, and that can't be used. Why not, says the Gemara, avuka, oi? It would seem that an avuka provides more illumination than merely just one wick, one candle. V'amar Rava, my dechsev, what does the pasuk mean? V'noiga ko'ertia. The tzaddikim, the Asad Lavi, will experience their noiga, their light, will be like the oir, which oir? That was present during the days of creation. The Medrash tells us Hashem hid that light, that intense illumination, and he saved it to the tzaddikim l'asad lavay. So indeed, they will experience it l'asad lavay, karnayim yodiloy, Hashem will hand them over the rays, v'sham chevyon uzoy. However, at the end of the day, the true intensity, the true intense illumination, will be present where? By Hashem. L'ma tzaddikim doymen b'fnei shechina. How do the tzaddikim compare to the shechina? Kinir b'fnei avuka, like a candle in front of a torch. So it's pretty clear that a torch illuminates more than a candle. V'amar Rav, in fact, Rav tells us, avuka l'avdola mitzvah ben amufchar. It is a superior preferred mitzvah to use an avuka when it comes to avdola. So it's pretty clear that a torch provides greater illumination than just a candle. Now, Teres Chaim asks, isn't this common knowledge? Why does the Gemara have to bring a raya that a torch gives off more light than a candle? So he says, perhaps, okay, quantitatively, yeah, a torch is bigger and provides more, but perhaps, as far as quality is concerned, a candle which is surrounded by an abundance of wax, which supply it a steady supply, perhaps, qualitatively, a candle is better than a torch, which is a combination of many small, many thin candles. So perhaps a candle has that advantage. And that's why we learn from these sources, no, it seems that in all respects, a torch is superior than to a candle. So why is a candle preferred by Bdikas Chametz? The Gemara will respond with four reasons. A candle, one doesn't hesitate to bring it into the nooks and crannies to provide a proper check. However, the torch, and he can't bring it into the nooks and crannies. So therefore, it doesn't provide for proper bedikas chametz. Rav Zid Amar, the light of a candle is in front of it, illuminates in front of itself. So if you hold out the candle to illuminate your nook and your cranny, your closet, the candle will provide proper illumination in order to discover the chametz there. V'zeh oyre la'achrav, in contrast to a torch whose light is behind them. What does that mean? Due to the intense light emanating from the torch, it will blind the person and actually impede his vision. Won't be able to see properly beyond the torch that he's holding out. So the area in front of the torch will be blocked from his vision, and he won't be able to see properly. So only behind it, meaning between the torch and himself, he can see properly, but beyond the torch, that area he's blinded, he won't be able to see. Rav Hilba Amar, high boys, a torch generates fear due to its large size, and he won't check properly in his home. Finally, boys, as opposed to the candle, which doesn't generate fear, and will provide a proper check. Ravina Amar, Hai Mashach Nahira. The flame of a candle is steady and consistent. Vahai Miktavik Tufi. As opposed to the flame of a torch which jumps around and choppy, and therefore a candle is preferred. So, in summary, how do we do Bdikas Chametz? The Chatzar doesn't need a Bdika whatsoever because of the irvin that are present there. An Achsadra needs a Bdika, but one may use sunlight. Likewise, opposite the skylight, you can use the Aracham. However, off to the sides, you need to use a Ner. Why is a nair superior to a torch? Four reasons. A nair can broaden into small areas, the nooks and crannies. The nair illuminates in front of itself, allows for proper vision. He's not afraid of bringing his candle into his home, into the closets. And finally, the flame of a candle is steady and consistent as opposed to the flame of the torch. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "Kol makim shemachnisim by chametz." So, anyway, where you don't bring chametz, you don't need to do bedikah. Why the word koil? Koil is coming to include something. Kol makim lasui mai. What are we coming to include? Lasui. How did Tanur Rabbanim come to include the halacha found in the following brayse? Chorei bayis. If you have a room in which you bring chametz, but there are holes in the wall. Hel yoinim atachtoinim. Holes up above, down below, which are inaccessible, difficult to use. So the ones up above are beyond his reach, the one down below are difficult to use, and presumed to be free of chametz. Therefore, no bedikah is required. And this is what the Mishnah had in mind. Kol mokim, even this place, as the Tzlach explains, we're speaking about a room in which there is chametz. However, the holes, which are inaccessible, are deemed to be off-limits, presumed to be free of chametz, and a potter from bedikas chametz. The Braisa continues, with several additional examples of places which are potter from bedikas chametz. The gag hayatzia, the roof of a extension coming out of his home. Rashi says it's a slanty roof, so we assume that the chametz rolled off. The gag amigdal, the top of a closet. Refes Bucker, a barn, Velulin, a chicken coop, Umatbein, a hay storage room, Va'oitzres Yain, Va'oitzres Shemen, rooms where you store wine or oil, ain't Richem Dika because they're presumed to be free of chametz. The Refes Bucker, etc., where there are animals, we assume that the animals consume the chametz. Avshim Gamlel Oimer, Mita Hacheleket B'Sech HaBayis. This bed, which serves as a partition in that room, umaf sekes, and there is a gap between the bed and the floor, tzricha bedika. You need to check it because perhaps there's chametz stored beneath that bed. Continues the Gemara. V'raminu, we seem to have a contradiction from a braisa regarding two elements found in the braisa that we just learned. We just learned that holes are exempt from bedikas chametz. Under the bed, you do need to do bedika. And the coming braisa will indicate otherwise. The braisa says, if there's a hole present in a wall which separates one person's house from the other, so Reuven will check in that hole up until where his hand can reach. And likewise, Shimon, he'll check until where he can reach. What about the place in between? So he just does bittul, and that's sufficient. Chacham didn't require him to exert himself to that extent. As long as he checks up until the point where his hand can reach, that's okay. So we see that one needs to check a hole in the wall. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita Chaylekes B'Sei Chabayis. We have this bed which serves as a partition in the room. Meitzim Va'avonim Sidurim Tachteh. We have some wood, some stones stored underneath the bed. Umav Sekes, and there is some gap between the bed and the wood beneath it. Eina Tzricha B'dika. A B'dika is not required. So we have a double contradiction. Kasha Mita Amita. We have a Kasha, a contradiction regarding Mita. In the first price that we see underneath Amita requires B'dika, as opposed to the second braisa, which doesn't require bdika. Chayur nachayurin. Kasha chayur nachayurin. We have a kasha regarding holes in the wall as well. In the first braisa, they don't need bdika. In the second braisa, they do. It says in more chayur nachayurin like kasha. Regarding chayurin, the answer is like this. Depends where the holes are situated. Habi loy ubetatoy. The previous braisa was describing holes which are high above, down below, inaccessible, and therefore don't require bedikah. V'habim mitzi. In contrast with the second braisa, which is describing holes which are somewhere in the middle, and accessible, and therefore there's a chashash, there's chametz there, bedikah is required. Mita mita le'kasha. Regarding mita, the answer will be like this. Hodem mitlaya. Hodem mitatoy. In the second braisa, where no bedikah is required, we're speaking about mitatoy, it's low down, and there's not enough space to use the area underneath the bed. Hodemidlaya is referring to the first braisa. You know why bedikah is required? Because it's lifted off the ground, and there's an adequate space for storage, in which case we're concerned with the presence of chametz. Continues the Gemara. Va'itzer siyayin ein tzarech bedika. So you mean to say that wine cellars don't need bedikas chametz? Va'atanya, we have a brisa which says, oitzer siyayin tzarech bedika. When it comes to wine storerooms, bedika is required. Oitzer shemen ein tzarech bedika. Stores in which you store the oil, you don't have to have bedika, but wine, yet. When the brisa says that bedika in a wine cellar is required, we're speaking about bimistapik. It's not a commercial wine cellar. It's not locked away. Bimistapik, it's serving his personal needs, supplying his wine for his meal. In which case, we're concerned that perhaps during the meal, the servant will get up, run down to get some more wine, and leave his bread in the wine cellar. Says more, if that's the case, that we're speaking about a personal storage room, yachi shemanami. So why does the Braisa say that only when it comes to wine, bedika is required, but oitzer shemen, don't need bedika? We're speaking about a room in which he stores his personal oil, which supplies his meals. Why is there no concern there as well, that perhaps the shamash will get up with his bread, run down to the storeroom, and perhaps inadvertently leave the bread there? Shemen yesh kava la'achila. When it comes to oil, the consumption of oil is predetermined, it's known in advance, and he tends to prepare adequate supply to last him throughout the entire meal. And there's no concern that the oil ran out and the shamash will have to go on down to the storeroom during the meal. We assume that he planned in advance and prepared enough oil. However, yayin ein kval ashtia, there's no set amount for drinking wine. Perhaps he anticipated one amount, and the supply got depleted mid-meal, which required him to go down to the wine cellar with his bread, and perhaps left his bread there. Tani Reb Chiya, also itzreis sheicha bebavel. The Chachamim regarded the beer storerooms in Bavel, where they were accustomed to drinking lots of beer, just as they would drink wine at Yisrael. So they regarded those beer storerooms, k'oitzeris yayim at Yisrael, in the same category as the wine storage rooms in Eretz Yisrael. But mistopic. When we're speaking about a beer storage room which supplies his meal needs. Therefore, the same concern that applies in the personal wine cellars in Eretz Yisrael will apply to the personal storage rooms of beer in Bavel. Amar Rav Chisda, Beit Dagim, Ein Tzarech Bedika. The room in which you store fish, you don't have to check. We have a brayta which says, you do have to check them. Loikash, the answer is, depends what type of fish. Haber Ravarvi. We're speaking about large sized fish, which he can anticipate, he can plan ahead, and provide himself adequate supply for the entire meal. In that case, no concern that he went down to get more. Haber Zutri, the brayta which says that even the fish storerooms require bedika, speaking about small sized fish, which you can't really anticipate the proper amount. Rashi says, Ein lemkva, and therefore, it's unpredictable, and perhaps he went down to get some more. Omar Rabba Baravhuna Bei Milchi, the salt storage rooms, Bei Kiri, the rooms which have the wax, Tzarech Bedika, because there as well, perhaps he ran out of his supply and went to get more. Omar Papa Bei Tzivi, the wood storage rooms, Bei Tamri, the ones that have dates, Tzarech Bedika, there as well, they need to have Bedika, because he may have gone there mid-meal to replenish his supply. Okay, so conclusion. Bedikas chametz is required only in a mokim. Shemachnisim bechametz. What about holes? Depends. The ones up above, down below, don't require bedika. The ones in the middle, which are accessible, require bedika. Regarding storerooms, the ones that store wine, oil, or large fish, don't require bedikas chametz. What about wine or beer, which provide a person's personal meal supply, or a storeroom housing small-sized fish, which you can't necessarily anticipate how much he's going to need during the meal, or the salt room that has wax, wood, or dates, in all those cases, because chametz is required. When it comes to a bed, if it is gavoya, if it's lifted off the ground, there's some storage area beneath it, then bedikah is required. If it's down below, close to the ground, then bedikah is not required. Continues the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Brice, Ein machayven oisei lahachnis yodai. The Chacham do not require a person to insert his hand. L'chayr l'stokin livdik, to check in the nooks and the crannies and the holes, v'pnei ha-sakana, on account of danger. My sakana, what danger is inherent in these holes? Inema, are we going to say v'pnei sakana's akrav concerned about a scorpion? So initially, when he used this hole, apparently we're speaking about a hole which he uses, in which case is a concern about the presence of chametz. So if he's using it, how to use it? There's a danger of the scorpion present. Leitzricha, apparently we're speaking about the nafal. This structure collapsed, fell apart. We have a heap of rubble. So initially it was a proper storage area. Now it became a heap of rubble. And we're concerned about the presence of scorpions, which are found inside heaps of rubble. Says the Gemara, nafal. If that's the case, lomli b'dika, why is a b'dika required altogether? But now we know it's in the Mishnah. When chametz is buried, we regard it as though it doesn't exist, it's inaccessible, and as though you disposed of it. Chametz shenafal of mapoilus. If it's mapoilus, a structure, this heap of rubble is found on chametz, how are you come avoyer? It's as though it's gone. You don't need to be concerned with it whatsoever. So in this case, this hole has now collapsed. We have merely a heap of rubble. Why would you be concerned with any chametz present there? That mission is speaking where it's deep. Under that heap, we have three tefachim of stones above it, in which case it's accessible even for a dog who can't really smell the chametz and he can't locate that chametz, in which case it's considered to be inaccessible as though it's non-existent. Hacha, in our case, however, it's closer to home. It's closer to the surface where a dog can discover it, and therefore it's not considered to be inaccessible and disposed of. And therefore, a bedikah would be required if not for the fact that there's a concern of sakana of the scorpions. Says the Gemara, but why would you be concerned about scorpions when you're doing a mitzvah of bedikas chametz? V'amar b'lazar shluche mitzvah einin zoikin. Those that are pursuing, that are involved in a mitzvah, are protected from harm. Amar Vashi, yeah, the bedikah itself is not a concern, but there's a concern in Shema. Perhaps this fellow will lose a needle, a pin. So he already lost something inside this hole. And then when he proceeds to do bedikas chametz, he'll have that in mind as well. While he's checking for chametz, he'll also look around to see if that pin is around. So since he has kavana for his own personal benefit, own personal te'elis, he's not considered a shliach mitzvah, he's not protected from harm. Okay, God will love mitzvah, but even in this case, it's not considered to be a full and proper mitzvah. Does it really take away? We learned at Brisa that even if a person has personal benefit from a mitzvah, it's still considered an act of mitzvah, Tanya. A person pledges his coin for tzedakah. He says, look, I'm doing this mitzvah with a kavana, with the intent that it provides a schus for my son. My son should live. Or he says that I'm doing this so that I should have a portion to Olam Haba. Harezet tzadik gomer. He's considered to be a tzadik gomer, meaning that it's still considered a proper mitzvah. So likewise, Rabbi Dika's chametz, even if he's looking around for his needle as well, it doesn't detract. It's still considered a proper mitzvah, and he's protected from harm. It says in Madilma Basa the Badak, Asi Le'yuni Basra. Sure, if during Dika's chametz he's also looking around for his item, he's still called a shliach mitzvah. But perhaps what's going to happen is that when he's done with Dika's chametz, then he'll initiate the search for his pin. At that point, he's already done the mitzvah. He's no longer protected by that mitzvah. Let's see Rashi up on top. Harizat tzadik gomer, a person does tzedakah some stipulation, Sheikhibni, Oish Ibn Abba. He's called it Tzadok Gomer. It says Rashi Tzadok Gomer B'davazeh, meaning this is a fully righteous act. It's a full mitzvah. B'lei Amrinan Shalei L'shma. So we don't say it's Shalei L'shma. It's for ulterior motive. Ela Kiki Mrs. Bairi. This fellow is fulfilling the mitzvah Hashem. Shetiv Olas Tzadokah. So his primary intent is the mitzvah. In addition to the mitzvah, he says, look, may as well have some side benefit as well. So that he can acquire a portion. So he doesn't realize that the mitzvah itself is going to be the schar that he's going to experience. As Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, schar mitzvah mitzvah. He doesn't have that recognition. Therefore, he stipulates, look, I'm doing this mitzvah so that I should get Olam Haba as a side benefit. That's all okay because the mitzvah is still being done for the sake of mitzvah. Or so that his children should live. So if it's during the act of mitzvah, certainly he's protected. The concern is perhaps when he's done the mitzvah, he'll proceed to look for his item. At that point, he's no longer protected. So on account of that concern, Chacham exempted this fellow from doing B'digas Chametz in this type of situation. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he says, you know what the Braisa means? That a person doesn't have to check the hole in the wall due to the danger involved. What danger are we speaking about? Mishum sakonas hanochem. Danger due to the guy who might harm him. We're speaking that there is a hole in a wall separating the Yisrael's home from the guy. And the Braisa is telling him that he doesn't have to check that wall because it might result in the guy harming him. Uplimahi, we're following the sheet of Plimahi. Sanya. There's a hole between the Yehudi and the Goy. Boydik ad mokem shiyadim agas. So Yisrael needs to check merely up until where he can reach. Hashar mevatel b'liboy. Regarding the rest of the hole, he does bittul to address any chametz that might be present in that hole. That's the Tanakhama. Plimoy Omar. No. Kol atzmoy ein boydik. This entire hole he will not check. V'pnei hasakana. Due to the danger which is present. My sakana, what danger is inherent in this situation? He name a sakana's kshafim. We're concerned that perhaps the guy will see this, he's checking the hole, he'll begin suspecting perhaps he's setting him up with some kshafim there. And he might harm him as a result. If that's a concern, ki ishtamish, hei ishtamish. So how does Yisrael ever use this hole in the wall? Says him, hasam, ki ishtamish, yimama. Generally, when he uses this hole, it's daytime, it's light. There's nothing out of the ordinary here. The guy doesn't suspect anything's being done abnormally. In contrast to over here, where it's nighttime, a shrag is using a candle, a shragu. And when the guy sees this, he begins to suspect foul play. And therefore, he might go ahead and harm the Yisrael. That's why the Yisrael is exempt from checking this hole. Says Gemara, but what's the concern? Vomer Belazer. The Belazer tells us, Shluchim mitzvah ein mizoike. When one is involved in a mitzvah, he's protected from harm. Heichad eshchech hazeika shani. When there's a high probability of harm, of danger, then it's different. One is not meant to submit himself, place himself in a dangerous situation. So even mitzvah doesn't protect a person. You know, the Chayvus Avava says that person may not place himself in danger, and if he does so, the einish, the punishment, perhaps is the very danger that may affect him. So a person not meant to place himself in danger, sakana, in a situation where it's shchiach hazeka, harm is commonly found, such as in this case with the goy, and therefore we exempt the Yisrael from digas chametz. Shenamar, where do we find this concept? Vayoyimer Shmuel. So this is when Hashem instructed Shmuel to go and anoint David as a king. Shmuel responded, Eich Eilich, how can I go? V'shama Shol Varagoni. Shol here, and he'll kill me. V'yomer Hashem, Hashem responded, Eglaz Bokar Tikach V'yadech. You know, I'll take a calf with you, and you'll tell them you're going to bring a carbon. So you'll use that as an alibi. So in any case, we see that even though Shmuel was involved in a mitzvah, nevertheless, he feared the consequence of confronting Shaul. Apparently, when it's Shechazeka, when it's a situation of high probability, Even a mitzvah won't protect a person. And likewise, in our case, the Yisrael is exempt from doing Digas Chametz due to the danger inherent. If the goy goes ahead and notices it and grows suspicious and may harm the Yisrael. So the Brisa tells us a person doesn't have to be Boydik Tichar. We have two explanations. The reason is because of Sakana. What type of Sakana? Either we're speaking about when the structure collapsed and there's a concern about the presence of scorpions. What about the fact that he's doing a mitzvah? Why isn't he protected? The Gemara says because perhaps he lost something in that hole, and when he's done B'digas Chametz, he'll continue looking for that item. At that point, he's not protected from the mitzvah. The second shot was, we're speaking about a hole which is any wall separating the yid from the guy. We're concerned about the guy growing suspicious, and this may result in hezek, and therefore we exempt the Yisrael from Digas Chametz. So on the topic of Shtucha Mitzvah, says the Gemara, Bo Minei Rav. They asked the following question of Rav. Hani Bnei Bei Rav. What about these Talmidim that learn by the Rebbe, learn in the Yeshiva, the Dairi Bebag, so they reside out in the villages, and they need to come to the Beis Medrash. Maula Meisi, Kadma B'Chashecha. Can they, should they come early in the morning when it's still dark before Alis HaShachar? V'Chashecha. And should they come after nightfall? Or should we be concerned about V'Mazikim, which are present, which are prevalent during nighttime, which may harm them? So should they come Kadma V'Chashecha L'Bei Rav? Omerlu, so Rav responded, certainly yes. Nicer, they should come. There's no concern. Olai, Val Tzavari. The harm that befalls them is on me and my neck, meaning I'm taking full responsibility. I assure you that the mitzvah will protect them, the mitzvah Talmud Torah, will protect them from all harm. Nezel mai. However, can they go back home? This was the next question asked of Rav. Can they go back home at night? Meaning, are they protected even on their return trip home? He says, I don't know. Continues the Gemara. Itmar, Amar Belazar. Yes, they're protected on both accounts. Shluch mitzvah einu nizoykin. A shluch mitzvah is protected from harm. Loi balichosim, loi bechazirosim. They're protected, they won't incur any harm, not on the way to the mitzvah, nor on the way back. Apparently, the return trip is also considered part and parcel of the mitzvah effort, which merits protection. Kiman, in accordance with this shita we follow, ki haitana, like the following tana, the sanya isa ben yuda imer. Klapei she'amra Torah, the fact that the Torah said, Torah promised, that when the Yisrael oile l'regel, you're not meant to be concerned about your property that you're leaving back home. V'lo yachmoy desh, atzecha, you can be assured that nobody will desire your land to overtake your property. We learn from here, Melamed Shetehe Paroscha Roya Bafar. So not only is your actual property going to be protected, but even your livestock, your cow, will graze in the afar, in the swamp, Vein Chayo Mazikasa, no animal will harm it. Tarnagoyloscha Menakeres Ba'ashpa. Likewise, your chicken will be pecking in the trash, Vein Chuldom Mazikasa, and a rat won't come harm it. Tosfos learns that the pasuk says "V'loyachmid ish es artzecha," indicating that not only your actual eretz, the property, will remain safe, but also es artzecha, something which is tofel la'artzecha, something which is subordinate, something which lives off the land, your animals as well will be protected. V'loy dvarim kavachomer. Now we can draw a kavachomer from here. Uma ilu shadarkin lizoik, since the Torah speaks about even these things, these animals, which are accustomed to experiencing harm, Rashi says, they don't have a mazel to protect them. Still and all, ein onizokin, they won't experience any harm. But they adam, certainly people, ein darkon lizok, which are not accustomed to experiencing harm. They have a mazel that protects them. Allah has come, certainly, of course, they will be protected from all harm because they're involved in a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Alila regl? Ein li ela b'halicha. So from here we only learn, perhaps on the way to the mitzvah, while you're involved in doing the mitzvah, you're protected. Bechazor menayin. What about on your return trip? How do we know that the person will be protected and his property will be protected at that point as well? Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, Upanisa, but you'll turn in the morning after Yom Tov, V'alachta Alecha, and you'll go back to your abode. Melamed teaches us Shetelech V'timtza Alecha B'Shalom. You'll go back home, you'll find everything in order, your dwelling, your oil, will be in a state of peace. So apparently, even at this point, during your return trip, you're considered to be still involved in the mitzvah effort and protected on account of the schus of the mitzvah. So this is the concept that we mentioned earlier, at shlucha mitzvah in a nizorkin, loy b'halichosan v'loy b'chazirosan. Says the Gemara, v'chima achar. Now once you tell me that filu b'chazira, that even on your return trip you're protected, b'halicha lamli. So once the Torah tells us that, why does the Torah have to say that b'halicha, on the way to Yerushalayim, to the mitzvah, you're going to be protected? Once we know that you're protected on the way home, certainly on the way there. So why does the pasuk have to say that nobody will desire your land? And the pasuk continues about when you go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that necessary? Isn't it implied from the fact that you're protected on the way home? Look at the Rav Ami. The pasuk here is informing us a din, as Rav Ami told us. Only a property owner has the obligation to be oil l'regel. However, a person who has no karka does not need to be oil l'regel. And we learn this from v'lo yachmud yishasar tsecha. That indicates that only a person who has eretz, who's a land owner, needs to be oil l'regel. Explains the Marsha, because the point of being oil l'regel is we have the farmer sitting out in the field, living off the ground, producing his crops. At 3 points during the year, you want to go up to Yerushalayim, to Beis HaMikdash, to connect to Hashem, to attribute everything to Hashem. It's not your doing, it's Hashem's production. It's coming from Hashem, it's meant to be used for Hashem. So, it's meant to put everything into perspective, to maintain proper focus. So Pesach is Zman HaAviv, when everything begins to grow. Shavuos is Zman HaKatzer, when you reap the crop. Sukkos is Zman HaAsav, when you gather everything into your home. So during these three distinct stages of production, it's appropriate to go up to Beis HaMikdash, to connect, to rejuvenate, to focus on what's important and what's real. Take everything that you own, all your properties, and connect it to its source, to Hashem. So one who has karka is oil l'regel. So on the topic of oil l'regel, says the Gemara, Omar Rav Abin Barav Ada Omar Yitzchak. Why is it that we don't find peiros ginoisar, these sweet, luscious, delicious fruits, found by the Yam Kineres? Why were they not found in Yerushalayim as well? In order to prevent a situation where the oiler regal will say, look, il mali lo ilinu, elo lechol peiros ginoisar b'Yerushalayim dayenu. If we only went up for this purpose, we only oil regal to Yerushalayim in order to benefit from the sweet peiros ginoisar, that would be enough reason to go up. Nimtzes aliyah shelo lishma. This will result in going up with an ulterior motive. Shelo lishma. Lose focus. Therefore, we don't want any attractions other than spiritual attraction. Kayotzeboy. Similarly, Amar Abdel Stoy Rav Yane. Pnei ma in chamit tveri b'Yerushalayim. Why? Where there are no hot springs, natural hot springs in Yerushalayim, as there are in Tveria, for the same reason. So the people coming up shouldn't say, had we only gone up to Yerushalayim to enjoy the Chamit Tveria, to bathe in the hot springs, there will be enough reason to come up. Turns out that they're going to be coming up, not for the true reason, true purpose of spiritual rejuvenation. Therefore, we don't want any diversions, any attractions, other than pure spiritual attraction. And therefore, Hashem did not place these things in Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah spoke about a makom she'ein machnitz by chametz, which doesn't require bedikas chametz, and the Mishnah proceeded with a question mark. Why, if that's the case, why did we say that when it comes to a wine cellar, you must check two rows? Says the Gemara, Martef, Mandachar Shemei, whoever discussed a wine cellar. How do you know that a wine cellar is potter from Bidikas Chametz? That it leads you to the next question, that why do you have to check a wine cellar? Whoever said a wine cellar is potter? Hachikamah, this is what the Mishnah means to say. The Mishnah says, Kol Makim, Shem Achim Tzimai Chametz, and Tzarech Bidika. So the Mishnah adds the words Kol. Kol Makim, Shem Achim Tzimai Chametz. And we learned this earlier. What's the word Kol coming to include? V'oitzris yayin v'oitzris shemen. Nami, ain't Tzarech Bidika. The wine cellars, the oil storage rooms as well, don't require Bidika. If that's the case, so the word koil was coming to include even these scenarios, wine cellars. If that's the case, ubeme amru, stay sure it's been marted. If that's the case, so why the chacham require checking two rows in the wine cellar? I just thought a wine cellar is pata. The answer is, mokem shemachnisim b'chametz. Ubeme stopik. We're speaking about a wine cellar, which supplies a person's personal mealtime supply of wine. Mistopik. In which case, there's a concern that perhaps he'll run in there mid-meal to replenish his supply and leave his bread there. And therefore, bedikah is required. So what type of bedikah is required? According to Beis Shammai, you meant to check between the barrels of the first two rows of that wine cellar. Now, which two rows are we speaking about? We have machlekes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, shtei shuris she'amru. These two shuris that we're speaking about, Mina Aretz Vashmeker, we're referring to rows which extend from floor to ceiling. So you enter the wine cellar, which has many layers going from floor to ceiling. So you check the first layer facing the entrance from floor to ceiling, and the one right behind it. So in total, you check between barrels amongst those first two layers, the outermost, floor to ceiling, and the one behind the floor to ceiling. The concern is, of course, that the shamus left some bread there. We'll assume that he left his bread amongst those barrels which are exposed to the entranceway. We're going to see soon, more specifically, the barrels which are on top, where we assume he went to get his wine from the upper barrels. So according to Avidu's approach, Bei Shammai hold, the outermost rows must be checked. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he says a bit differently. You know where these two rows are? Shura achas kiminagam. It's actually like one row shaped like a gam. A gam is a Greek letter, like an L. So according to Rabbi Yechon, you meant to check the outermost layer, like Rabbi Yehuda. So you enter the cellar, and you check that first layer which you face, from floor to ceiling, but not the one behind it. That one, and then the uppermost layer of the entire wine cellar, the layer which faces the ceiling. So it's like an L, across the top, down the front. So you check the entire perimeter of the wine cellar, the one that's fully exposed to the entranceway, and also the top one, where there's a concern perhaps bread was deposited there. Tanika Vasei Rabbi Yehuda, Tanika Vasei Rabbi Yechon. We have a brayso which supports both approaches. Tanika Vasei Rabbi Yehuda, we have a brayso which supports Rabbi Yehuda's approach. V'shamei Oimim, Shtei Shuris Al Pnei Kol HaMartif. What does that mean? You check two rows in front of the front of the wine cellar. U'shtei Shuris She'amru, Min HaAretz Ashmei Koira. These two rows are the two outermost rows exposed to the entrance of the Martev, going from floor to ceiling. So this was Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Tanya Kavas Rabbi Yechonon, we have a bright which supports Rabbi Yechonon. Shtei Shuris Al Pnei Kol HaMartev means like this. Chid Soina Reis HaPesach. You check the outermost layer, which faces the entranceway. Vel Yoina Reis HaKoyra. And the uppermost layer, which faces the beams. Shilifnim Heimeno, or Shilimata Heimeno. The one behind it or beneath it. So you enter the cellar. The first layer, the first row from floor to ceiling, you check. But shelifnim hemenu, behind it, you don't check. you check the uppermost layer, but shalemata himenu, the one beneath it, ain't tzarech b'dika, no dika is required. So conclusion, according to Beis Shammai, check two rows. Rida says, it's the two outermost rows of the wine cellar from floor to ceiling, Rabbi Yechanan, the outermost and the uppermost. According to them, you don't need to check to such great extent. Entire layers, just a couple of rows suffice. Which ones? The two outermost, which are the upper ones. A bit confusing. What does this mean? Rav Machlokes. Amar Rav. Elyono shlamati imenu. What you mean is the uppermost row and the one beneath it. So you enter the wine cellar. You're faced with a layer of barrels from floor to ceiling. You don't have to check the entire layer. Just the uppermost row going all across. And the one right beneath it, which is two away from the ceiling. So the first one and the second one. That's all. That's according to Rav. El Yoyna Ushalamata Imen. Ushmol Amar El Yoyna Ushalafnim Imen. Shmol says, the uppermost corner, yeah, that whole row. But instead of going down, you go further into the cellar. So the uppermost line and the one right behind it. So again, you enter the wine cellar. You have rows and rows of barrels. According to Beis Hillel, check merely two lines. Not entire layers, just two rows. Rav says, it's the uppermost row in that front layer and the one right beneath it. According to Shmuel, the uppermost and the one behind it. Says, well, my time at the Rav. What's Rav's basis for his approach? Dayik chitzaynis. Because the Mishnah says, shtei shuras chitzaynis. The two outermost rows. Apparently speaking about the rows which are present in the outermost layer facing the entranceway. Not behind it, not towards the interior side of the wine cellar. So here's medayik from the word chitzaynis. V'ol yoynis ketonim. Doesn't the Mishnah say, Chitzonis Shein Ha'ol Yoinois, uppermost? According to Rav, yeah, the first one is near the ceiling, but the second one is beneath it, removed from the ceiling. That's not Ha'ol Yoinois. They're not both uppermost. Lamuti Tatoi the Tatyasa. When the Mishnah says Ha'ol Yoinois, it's simply coming to rule out the ones beneath the two rows. Tatoi, the one beneath, the ones beneath, the Tatyasa. Of the lower one, of the second one, the one that's removed from the two away from the ceiling. So again, according to Rav, you check the upper line and the one right beneath it, but not beneath that. Shmuel Amar El Yoyna Shulafnim Imenu. Shmuel says, you enter the wine cellar, you face with that layer of barrels, that wall of barrels. You check the uppermost row going from wall to wall, and the one right behind it. Why, my timer? What's his reason? Daikal Yoynes. Because the Mishnah says clearly, Shtei Shurei Sachitzen Shehen El Yoynes. They're meant to be the uppermost. Apparently, it's not the one that's removed from the ceiling. It has to be facing the ceiling. Vachitzenes Ketani. What about the fact that the Mishnah says Chitzenes Shentegates outermost? According to Shmuel, the first one is situated on top of the outermost row, but the one behind it is the interior. It's not chitzoynis. Lemote gavyasa, the gavyasa. The Mishnah says, chitzoynis, it's coming to exclude the one that's behind the second one from the front. So you check the outer one, the one right behind it. You don't have to check past that. So in summary, Beis Hillel required checking merely along two rows, not layers, just two rows, two lines of barrels. According to Rav, we're speaking about the outermost layer of barrels, the barrels which you're faced with when you walk into the wine cellar. So you come in, and you look up to the ceiling, you check that first row running all across the ceiling and the one right beneath it. So two rows in total. According to Shmuel, the top row and the one behind it, which is removed from the front towards the back. Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya Tani Kavasei the Rav. Rav Chiya taught a Braisa in accordance with Rav's approach. V'kula Tanai Tanu Kavasei the Shmuel. However, all the other Tanaim learned their Braisa in accordance with Shmuel's approach. V'lachas Kavasei Shmuel. Indeed, that Lacha follows Shmuel's approach, that you check the uppermost row with the one behind it. So again, the concept here is that we're concerned that the Shamus perhaps inadvertently left his bread there when he went to replenish his wine supply. And probably he would have left it amongst the barrels which were exposed to the entranceway. Probably he left it somewhere up on top where he's going to find his barrel. You see, you generally take the barrel from on top of the pile rather than from the bottom. So the concern is amongst those barrels which are exposed, which are on top, and that forms the basis of these various shittas. To what extent are we concerned? Where exactly do we apply this concern? Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We learned about the Dikas Chametz, which is not required in a chatzar, which is a unroofed area. It's exposed to the creatures and the elements. We're certain that the ravens, came by and picked up the chametz. Therefore, no bedika is required. However, nachsada, which is a covered roofed area, you need to do bedika there, but you can use sunlight, which is found in abundance in that area. Likewise, you have a skylight. So the area which is directly opposite that window is fully illuminated by the Ur HaChama, by sunlight, and that is sufficient. However, in other areas, you need to have the Ur HaNer in specific. Why is a ner preferred over a torch? Then we'll give us four reasons. Number one, you don't hesitate to take the ner into chirim stuck into nooks and crannies, as opposed to a torch, which can't fit in there. Number two, the candlelight is not so bright, it doesn't blind you, which allows you to properly see the area in front of the candle and discover the chametz present there. The candle doesn't generate fear, and therefore he'll check properly. And finally, the light of a candle is steady and consistent and provides for an effective bedikas chametz. We learned that only a makam shemach nitzin by chametz requires bedika. What about holes in the wall? So if they're situated up high or down below, in which case accessible, hard to use, we assume there's no chametz there, no bedika is required. If the holes are somewhere in the middle, then we have to do bedikas chametz. What about storage rooms? So a wine cellar, standard wine cellar, an oil room, a fish room containing large fish, these don't require bedika. The Gemara tells us, when it comes to large fish or oil, a person can anticipate how much he's going to need for the suda, and therefore there's no concern that he ran out of supply and went to replenish. When it comes to a personal wine cellar or a beer storage area, where he's being mistafik from it, serving his personal mealtime supply, or the storeroom which contains small fish, salt, wax, wood, dates, all these cases of concern that perhaps he ran out of supply during the meal, and he'll go over there to replenish mid-meal, perhaps he'll leave his bread in these areas. When it comes to a bed, if it's high, it's lifted off the ground, suitable for storage, have to bedik underneath it. If it's low down, in that case, it's not suitable for storage, and no bedikah is required. The Braisa told us that one is pater from doing bedikas chametz in a hole where sakana is present. What type of danger are we speaking about? We have two approaches. Either we're speaking about a structure which collapsed, in which case there's a concern about the scorpion that may be present there. Now, although a person is meant to be protected from harm while he's involved in a mitzvah, however, the chum concern perhaps, after he's completed the bedikas chametz, he'll continue looking for his lost item. And at that point, he's no longer protected on account of the mitzvah. The chacham exempted him from bedikas chametz in this case. The second approach was that the concern is due to a goy. We're speaking about a hole present in a wall protecting the, separating the Yisrael's dwelling from the goy. And we're concerned that the goy might notice that he's up to something there all the night with a candle, perhaps he's setting him up for kishuf, and this may result in the goy harming the Yisrael. Now, although generally we say shluchi mitzvah ein nezaikin, but in a case where shchiach hazeka, where harm is highly probable, such as in the case where Shmuel was going to anoint David and was afraid of Shaul, in that case we don't say shluchi mitzvah ein nezaikin. That's where the chacham exempted this fellow from doing bedikas chametz. We learned that shluchi mitzvah ein nezaikin, whether it's on the way to doing a mitzvah or even on the way home. And we learn this from the fact that the Torah promised that Yisrael, who will be a little regal, will be protected, himself, his belongings, from all harm and damage, whether it's when he's going to be a little regal, when he's involved in a little regal, or even as he returns to home. So you see that on both accounts, whether on the way there or on the way back, a person has the protection of the mitzvah. We concluded with the wine cellar, which supplies his personal mealtime needs, in which case it's a concern. Perhaps he ran into it with his bread, but think it's required. According to Beis Shammai, you check two layers. We have two approaches. What that means, according to Beis Hillel, you check merely two rows. And according to Shmuel, it means the upper, outer upper corner and the row behind it. And then the world concludes, V'ilchasa kavasei de Shmuel.